All right. Hey, good afternoon. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, or actually good afternoon. August 5th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is a Monday, starting a new week and all that will come with that. Did the podcast the other day. Interesting state of mind. Doing that podcast. That was an unfortunate day. That's sort of the part of doing this podcast, right? Is sort of sharing what goes on in this amazing recovery life, right? No problems ever. And I think I must have mentioned it. And it's funny, I went back to listen to the podcast to check if I didn't sound like too much of an asshole. And I didn't. It was fine. But I kept saying 5,307 days, 5,703 days. I think it is 5,703, but now we should add a couple more. And still fucked up, right? Still nuts. And it's great. Great weekend, great life. Everything's going wonderful. My buddy, right, that I got in an argument with, my brother from another mother, reached out to me on Sunday. And I had a missed call and a voicemail. I was like, oh, shit. And, you know, the problem was is that I was debating, right? I did not feel good spiritually. I was sickened by the whole thing. And ego was digging its heels in. We did not want to make the call. We were right, right? I was right this time. And didn't really matter, right? Doesn't really matter. I just suffered, right? I suffered while I was right. And that is, unfortunately, old behavior. That's the way I used to be, and I've done a lot of work, so I don't have to be that way today. But I was still going to give it a few more days. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but my buddy called me and left a big voicemail. I did not listen to it. I immediately called him back, and as soon as he answered, I said, "Hey, I love you." And he said, "I love you." And I said, "I don't know if I would change anything I said. I don't know anything about it. I just don't know. Or I just don't like where we are from it." And he said, "I agree." And I said, "So let's," he said, "let's move past it." And I said, "Let's, I apologize." And, you know, that's recovery for you. That is serenity, right? And sometimes we have to agree to disagree, but we also have to agree that being in this place is not good. We just disagree, man, and that's what we did the other day. We just disagreed, and we agreed to disagree, And sometimes that happens, man. That is a, I think that falls under the serenity prayer, right? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And, you know, today, it's all ego, right? Listen, I came into this program a beaten drunk, right? And all I did was stink of alcoholism and alcohol. And it was real easy for me to point out my problems. It involved that bottle, right? And all the bottle and my mouth as soon as the alcohol went in it. And those things were easy to fix because they were sort of created by the vodka, right? But the ego, right? Identifying it, right? Really understanding my true issue, which is I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And 5,700 and however many days it's been, that still lives on. It lives on. But luckily through the steps, right, and conversations and going to meetings and time, you know, we kind of can identify it. We put a spotlight on it. It's like that not Lex Luthor, but who was the guy in Silence of the Lamb, right? They got him in that acrylic cell in the middle of the room with a spotlight on him, right? We need to know exactly what's going on. And that's, you know, what the program has done for me, has allowed me to put a spotlight on it. And when that shit gets up and up, getting acting crazy, I know exactly why. And I don't, unfortunately though, I'm still not sure because I'm like, of course, and I'm like, well, you know, because I told him, I was like, you know, I was probably just going to call you on Thursday and say you want to walk tomorrow, right? Because we've been friends for a long time. We've had our scuffles, and that's usually how we handle it. We're like, okay, that wasn't the greatest, but, you know, let's just move on. We don't need to drag that forever. And so that was probably going to be my solution because, quite honestly, and like I shared in that podcast, man, I was not in a good spot, right? It was like the dam had burst, and I was trying to put mud on the hole, but more holes were popping, and I couldn't figure out what I was going to do about the situation. So especially in those times, you know, what I do is just take a break, right? Just take a breath, you know, cooler heads prevail. And so I was just in the I'm taking a break mode. And he told me, he's like, you know, I was doing my prayers and my spiritual stuff, and I just had to clean that up. And so I think he feels like I do. I'm not sure either one of us did anything wrong, but it's not important. What's more important is that we recognize that we don't need to stay there. And, but you know, coming into this program, and I remember, you know, I would hear ego, I would hear self-centered fear and ego and all these and humility. And I thought, wow, these are all, you know, and I've shared before, I was completely familiar with humiliate. Because I was, you know, I always feel like, you know, sarcasm is to humiliate somebody at their expense for your enjoyment or to boost me up. So I was familiar with humiliate, and I was familiar with humiliated because I had been humiliated many times. But the word humility, I was unfamiliar with. So these were all sort of new things for me in the beginning, and it's hard to teach, right? It just takes time. And the other day, that's what was flaring up, was ego, and just a lot of restraint from pen and tongue, right? Because I'm better, right? I don't need to get into it. And for some reason, the other day, there was just something that set me off that really put me in a bad place, and him too. And he probably has some shit, you know, he probably bites his tongue a lot, you know, when he hangs out with me, and I probably bite my tongue a lot when I hang out with him. And the bad part is that over the last 25 years or almost 30 years that we've been friends and running and walking and, you know, over time we've found, you know, topics that we don't discuss, right? And, you know, I'm not going to say that we both get dry, but I'm sure, you know, it's great to go to a meeting, right? You have all the right things to say, right? You talk to your sponsee or your sponsor. We always have the right things to say, but how do we use these tools in our daily living, right? Because, you know, sometimes, and it is interesting, and I always love that term, you know, we hold the door for each other at the Wawa, but then we run each other over in the parking lot, right? And that's sort of sometimes how recovery and meetings and programs and the community can be. For me, at least, you know, we all are on our best behavior at a meeting, but, you know, we still have to use these tools out there in the public. And you know, I did not use the tools, or I overused the tools, and maybe I should have at some point said, hey, you know, there are a couple things we discussed that I don't know why we can't discuss them anymore. Never did that, right? I kept sweeping things under the rug, and then sort of had an outburst the other day. And I have to give all the credit to my buddy because he called me, right? I was still had my heels in. In fact, at one point, I'm like, you know, maybe I had said to myself, sometimes we just lose friends, right? And so I had still dug my heels in, and he made the call, and I was just super grateful for that. And now, you know, we're meeting on Friday for another run walk. Hopefully that we can get some of this stuff straightened out. I don't know, but the cool thing was he called. I appreciated it. I sent him a text afterward. I'm going to go, I really appreciated the call. Thank you. He was more of a man than I was, so hats off to him. But we are starting a new week. This week, I know, is going to be the second half of the 12-step. I know we read the 12-step. And my buddy, the one I got in the big fight with, is the one that spoke, you know, last week on Monday. And I think that also has something to do with it. I just have this sort of resentment that that, not that I have to go to meetings, because I don't, I'm not burdened by it. I enjoy, you know, the humility that I can find to find the reason to keep going to meetings. And I sometimes wonder why he doesn't, right? Which is absolutely none of my business, right? All of these early things that were taught to me, mind your own business, you know, focus on the day, you know, all the simple things, think, whatever the little slogans are, they all come back flowing in when situations like this happen. And one of them is I need to just mind my own business, right? And, but I wasn't doing that. And so that sort of led to where it was. But so I know this week we are finishing the second half of the 12th step. And it's a little tough to talk about, right? The 12th step is not only I feel like we obviously have to work through each step to get to the 12th step, but fortunately and unfortunately, I think it just also requires time. And because I can think of the first time I did the 12 step and then over the years, how it's evolved and sort of, you know, it's not even the 12 step, right? It's the steps before it, right? That I hadn't worked on that hard and finally came back and, you know, with a new excitement, right? And maybe I did a better 4th step, right? Still maybe, you know, floundered a bit on the 5th step. And if that's happening, every step afterwards is going to be a struggle. But finally, when I get the 5th step done, and then I got to get into the 6th and 7th, and then I did the drop the rock, and, you know, over time, just more and more is revealed. And so, anyway, that's what we're doing this week is the 12th step. It's, you know, that's personal. It's everybody's journey. I know that, you know, there's nothing I can say that's going to help anybody on the 12th step, right? It's really the first 11. But yeah, that's what's been going on. I did go to work today. Everything, you know, right now my problem is nothing. I have no problems. Everything is good. I had a great day yesterday. I'm still struggling with procrastination. And the heat doesn't help, right? And the traffic doesn't help. I'm sort of have a whole bunch of ideas thrown at my feet of reasons why I cannot do some of the things that I want to get done. And, you know, it bums me out, right? Yesterday I had really a great weekend with the boy. My oldest son was down, and we got to hang and we get to do some running. And my middle son, you know, he's 13, so you know, it's, you know, whether it's recovery or just life, you know, at 55 I'm like, Sam, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to avoid this, and he's like, yeah, right? But he won't understand it, right? Until unfortunately he goes through these things. And he feels the sting, right, or the joy, or whatever it is that happens through these tasks that we have in our life that, you know, sort of cements them into our memory. But my oldest son, you know, had a little speech for my middle son, and he inspired him, right? My son, and I've shared, he likes playing the basketball, and he wants to go out for basketball, but he hasn't done a lot of work towards that goal. And I think my oldest son talked to him. And so I went outside yesterday. First of all, I got up yesterday, power washed the house, right? That was a big deal. We have family coming in town. So I wanted to, not that the house was dirty, but I think if you're You know, most of our houses, I would imagine, over summer, it just has bugs and, you know, spider webs and, you know, little green here and there. And so it was just nice to get the power washer out and just get everything nice and clean. And I don't mean the whole house, really just our back porch and our front porch. And then we have an outdoor area that was getting some green stuff on the white thing. And so I power washed it, did all that, really was proud, because that has been something that's been on my list of things to do, and I've been procrastinating about it. So I don't know what that's about. I really don't. It's a character defect, right? Procrastination for me, because it, you know, not only do I do it and then I feel bad about it, and then I sort of beat myself up, and then I sort of regress in my serenity, and, you know, one day at a time, right? And this is 5,700 and whatever, 6 days now, and I'm still dealing with some of the same shit that I had when I came into the program. I think one thing the program definitely does is allows me to identify it, right, and identify the shame and guilt that comes along with it, but I haven't figured out on how to fix it. And sometimes this time of year, you know, where we live at least, it's so much traffic and it's so hot, I just find myself sitting in the house, right, and getting caught up in these politics, which still is aggravating me. So next week, obviously, but we can still talk about, you know, the first step. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Whew, man, that was a long... I didn't even realize that, right? I read it as... I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable to everybody else. And I think it wasn't until that I realized that I was pretty set in my ways and pretty much okay, had washed my hands with really any... I daydreamed of success, but physically knew that I probably wasn't going to have any. Just not getting a DUI or killing somebody, that was the top of my list of success. But just the you know, and I was never, and I shared this before, I was just never the guy that wanted to get sober. I just thought that I just drank. And that's what I did. A lot of other people do it. Why is it any different that I do it? And the problem was that my life, it was becoming unmanageable to everybody else. And, you know, it's like the person that I, you know, I'm close with that's struggling. You know, this person's life is unmanageable, because when this person is doing what this person does, the whole world comes apart around them, and then all of us around them have to sort of figure out how to, one, not let them know that this person's a drunk, right? And two, you want to try to make it look like they're not falling apart as bad as they are. And I think that's what was going on in my life, right? My parents and, you know, the guy I worked for and the people upstairs and my uncle, you know, they were just... they were having to do things extra to manage the problems that I was making. And, you know, when I had that realization that really my life had become unmanageable to everybody else, I was like, oh my God, right? Because I'm selfish, right? And it's hard to think of things about other people when all I do was think about me and zero accountability, right? I just didn't care. I was, oh, every time something bad happened, I'm like, well, how come this keeps happening to me, right? Why, God, right? And just what a difference in my life and in the person that I am today and in my attitude and in my spirit, right? It is unfortunate that we are alcoholics, right? But I do consider myself blessed and lucky that I am an alcoholic, because due to that, I won't say forced, right? It seemed forced at the time, but I stayed, right? So I got to take a look at this program and these 12 steps and start to learn about who I am and what my real problems are. Because for a long time, it was just because I thought I drank too much. And that is true. I did drink too much and I did have a lot of problems, but all those problems went away, right? I stopped hitting, you know, my uncle's well, right? I stopped crashing the car. I stopped fighting the neighbors. I stopped getting arrested. I stopped losing my job. I stopped, you know, waking up drunk. I stopped spending my whole day with a hangover. I stopped, you know, in my head assassinating people all around me because, you know, I figured they were all talking shit about me, right? I was in this darkest, darkest place due to that real spiritual imbalance, right? It, to me, it is a spiritual imbalance. I was possessed by a devil, and I couldn't shake it. And so it's just when I think back to that time and then to come in, I don't even know if I heard the first step spoken, right? I was just amazed that I wasn't drunk. And, you know, that's pretty freaking cool. It's pretty freaking cool. I was going to maybe read something out of the As-Built Sees It. And I don't know what. I'm just going to flip this book and I'm going to stop where it stops and I'm going to read something. And so here we stopped, 181. And so this is As Bill Sees It. I do love this book. I think it has a lot of great stuff in it. And so this is 181, Imaginary Perfection. And so I just, like a deck of cards, I flipped through it, and this is where I landed on 181. And so I'm going to see if I can find a message in this reading. So here we go. 181, Imaginary Perfection. When we early AAs got our first glimmer of how spiritually prideful we could be, we coined this expression, don't try to be a saint by Thursday. All right, I'm going to try to read that again because I think I sort of messed it up. But it says, when we early AAs got our first glimmer of how spiritually prideful we could be, we coined this expression, don't try to be a saint by Thursday. That old-time abomination may look like another of those handy alibis that can excuse us from trying for our best, yet a closer view reveals just the contrary. This is our AA way of warning against pride blindness and the imaginary perfection that we do not possess. Only one step where we made the 100% admission that we were powerless over alcohol can be practiced with absolute perfection. The remaining 11 steps state perfect ideals. They are goals towards which we look and the measuring sticks by which we estimate our progress. Yep, exactly. So, you know, it's like the other day when I got in a fight with my buddy, you know. I feel like I'm perfectly, you know, I work a good program. I've worked the steps. I work with other alcoholics. I try to do this podcast, you know, whatever it does. And, you know, for the most part, I feel like I'm doing, you know, a good job. But situations like that come up the other day, and I really, you know, I was completely off the freaking reservation for a while there. I regressed big time, right? I had forgotten everything that I had learned, and I'd become very immature and not very humble, and it was really bad. And so I have to remind myself, you know, and I think that was the point of, you know, the other day was that, you know, however many, 5,700, however many days it's been, it doesn't mean that I am free from all of that shit. It just helps me, the steps help me recognize it, right? And it helped me become aware of the real ill of my will, right? And that is that spiritual imbalance, you know, the you know, too much devil, not enough God. And the devil came out and he was like perched and ready. And he was not having, or he was having it. He wanted to get into it, and God didn't come back for a while, right? God, when I saw that he had called me and left a message, God showed back up. But for a while, I was deep in the devil. And yeah, it was crazy. But I do think that early on when I came into the program, and I've shared about this before, you know, I put down the drink, right? I stopped drinking and driving, and my parents and my friends thought I was the best thing since sliced bread, right? You are doing so good, right? We are so proud of you. All right, I'm back. So much going on down there. We had a guy painting our porch, and he wanted to get paid, so I need to go check it out. So I paid him. Great guy. You know, my son, I guess, told him I was up here doing a podcast. He's like, you do a podcast? I go, yeah. He's like, on recovery? I go, yeah. And, you know, and then he started to share his story with me, and I was like, yeah, you know. And he's, you know, sound like he's back and forth, in and out. And so good luck to him. Good guy. I told him, man, we just got to stop, you know, losing everything. And he's like, I hear that. But anyway, I don't even know where I'm going with this. I just, yeah, I think I'm going to cut it short. I really just wanted to do a podcast and share that My buddy reached out and saved our friendship, and I appreciate that. And in times when I should have been the most humble, right, when I should have really dug in and tried to clean something up, I was tortured by ego. And, you know, that never goes away. So I'm going to have to keep an eye on it and try to do better the next time. And you know what I need to do? I can read the daily reflections. And then I will go. Then I try to get back into the, you know, regular scheduled program. Like I said, some of these later steps are hard to talk about because, unfortunately, and if you have, I appreciate it, but a lot of people haven't. And so not a lot of people can relate, but, you know, hopefully one day. All right, today, August 5th, listening deeply. How persistently we claim the right to decide all by ourselves just what we shall think and just how we shall act. Yep, 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 37. If I accept and act upon the advice of those who have made the program work for themselves, I have a chance to outgrow the limits of the past. Some problems will shrink to nothingness, while others may require patience, well-thought-out actions. Listening deeply when others share can develop intuition in handling problems which arise unexpectedly. It is usually best for me to avoid impetuous action. Attending a meeting or calling a fellow AA member will casually reduce tension enough to bring relief to a desperate sufferer like me. Sharing problems at meetings with other alcoholics to whom I relate or privately with my sponsor can change aspects of the positions in which I find myself. Character defects are identified and begin to see how they work against me. When I put my faith in the spiritual power of the program, when I trust others to teach me that I need to do to have a better life, I find that I can trust myself to do whatever is necessary. You know, I love when shit comes up and the readings sort of help me get better. And I'll always be grateful for that. All right, everyone have a great day. Bye. Because we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me and we just disagree. Disagree.